This is WMUK's West Southwest Brief. I'm Gordon Evans. In his book, Bunk, The Rise of Hoaxes, Humbug, Plagiarists, Phonies, Post-Facts, and Fake News, Kevin Young explores the people who fool the public and why it happens.
I started out writing about why do people deceive, and I real quickly started thinking about why we believe. And I think there's so many reasons, but a lot of it is because we want to.
Kevin Young will discuss his book this week at Western Michigan University. His address, 7 o'clock Thursday night, March 28th, in Western Michigan University's Knaus Hall, is sponsored by the University Center for the Humanities and Western's English Department. This interview originally aired in January when Young was first scheduled to speak. It was rescheduled due to weather. The longer version of the interview with Kevin Young can be found at WMUK.org, our app, and WMUK's West Southwest podcast from Apple iTunes and Google. You take us back to P.T. Barnum. He can't be the first person that tried to pull one over on somebody. But how important a figure is he historically when we're talking about the issue of bunk?
Well, I don't think Barnum invented the hoax by any means, but he certainly came close to perfecting it. He managed in his show starting in 1835 when he displayed a woman named Joyce Heth, who he claimed to be George Washington's nursemaid, which would have made her be 161 years old. He really established this kind of connection to the American public. As he put it, every crowd has a silver lining. And he was really interested in separating people for their money, but also providing them with what he saw as humbug, but not as something that wasn't exciting, but something that was a good show. Obviously, there's some troubling stuff once you start to look at his shows up close, and a lot of things that mirror today's fake news and fakery writ large.
Are all of us susceptible? Do all of us, you know, bring preconceived notions to things, or maybe we have hopes that someone can prey upon and get us to fall for a hoax?
Well, it's interesting, because one of the things I came to understand is that in the past, hoaxes really, in Barnum's day up to sort of the early 20th century, really were preying on hope. They weren't preying on fear so much. It isn't to say that they weren't elements that are disturbing. Another of Barnum's hoaxes in 1860, he showed a black man who he claimed to be the missing link and called "What Is It?" question mark. And it was a hugely popular show, and his picture's on the cover of my book. And I try to argue him as a slightly different figure than Barnum would have had him. Certainly, he was not in any way the missing link. These were all fictions created and preyed on our sort of biggest, deepest division, which is race.
Young says hoaxes have changed over time. They've become more focused on tragedy and danger and create divisions.
Barnum used to pitch that you too could be an expert. You could come and see Joyce Heth, and whether you thought she was real or not, that was part of the pleasure, as you got to be an expert. And now there's this notion that there are no more experts. And I think that's a really dangerous shift that we've experienced.
Yeah, you include this quote from Mary Carr, "Whoever believes the least wins because he'll never be found wrong." And then you go on to write from that, that while doubt has increased, there's actually an increase in hoaxing and presumably also an increase in the hoaxes that are actually successful.
Well, yeah. I mean, we see them in literary scenes. We see them in journalistic scenes. But there's even more disturbing aspect now is it isn't so much that there's more hoaxes, though I think, as I trace in the book, that's true. It's also that people accuse someone of hoax. That's the biggest hoax now, as you say, you're fake, or that's fake news to something you don't like.
This is fake news put out by the media.
When President Trump says fake news at a reporter who has written something he doesn't like, is he sort of taking advantage of that cynicism you mentioned that people have, that everything out there must be fake?
Well, I think he's taking advantage of it. Sometimes he's contributing to it. I mean, I think there's a real cynicism there and a kind of paranoia, but also a kind of tunnel vision. These are not good things for what I think fights the hoax, which is listening a bit, being a bit skeptical, because I do think, like a good journalist, we should be skeptical, but we shouldn't be so cynical that we can't recognize the truth when we see it, especially if it makes us a little uncomfortable.
When somebody is part of a journalistic scam, is it somewhat worse? Because we would often think, well, journalists should be the ones who show us what is true, and they should be the ones who throw the flag on somebody who is perpetrating a hoax. But when the hoax comes from within, does it do more to, as we talked about at the beginning, breed mistrust?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, I want the same from my politicians, for instance. I want them to have a higher standard than a journalist, for sure. But I would say that journalists do have high standards. All the hoaxes, the journalistic hoaxes I can think of and that I trace in the book are caught by other journalists.
It was 10 people.
Yes.
For dinner.
Yes.
They're closed at 3 on Sundays.
Kevin Young's book explores many of the journalistic fabrications, such as Stephen Glass. His rise and fall is depicted in the movie Shattered Glass, with Hayden Christensen as the writer and Peter Sarsgaard playing the New Republic's editor at the time, Charles Lane. Clips of the movie appear on YouTube.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah. It's a hell of a story.
As executive editor of the Washington Post, the late Ben Bradley had to return a Pulitzer Prize that the paper won for a story by reporter Janet Cook about an 8-year-old heroin addict. The story turned out to be fiction. Bunk author Kevin Young says Bradley is a good example for other journalists to follow when fabrications get published.
And he was really tremendous, I think, in responding. And he's someone who, I think, thought a lot about why did this work on me specifically, but also on all of us who are involved in it and involved in, you know, believing it.
I almost hesitate to ask this, but is there another book that could be written on hoaxes? And do you want to write it?
That's a great question. I realized at a certain point I had to sort of stop. And I just told my editor, like, there's another one every week, you know. And
Rachel Dolezal came up, right, while you were trying to finish this book,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, and I ended up writing about her, and I'm glad I did. But, you know, I think the thing that I've noted is the ways that it's so extreme. It's worse than we thought, say, in terms of the election, say, in terms of day-to-day life and other aspects of fakery that we thought couldn't be quite touched or weren't touched quite as badly. So there is something to be said about that. And, you know, sometimes I think about, you know, is there an epilogue? But at the same time, what I like about the book is looking back on it, I really was thinking about the history of the hoax, and it does apply then to the future of it, which is all around us.
Kevin Young is the author of Bunk, The Rise of Hoaxes, Humbug, Plagiarists, Phonies, Post Facts, and Fake News. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Kevin Young will speak Thursday night, March 28th, at Western Michigan University. His address begins at 7 o'clock in Knaus Hall and is sponsored by the University's Center for the Humanities and Western's English Department. This interview first aired in January when Young was originally scheduled to speak. His appearance was rescheduled due to weather. A longer version of the interview with Kevin Young can be found at our website, the WMUK app, and through WMUK's West Southwest podcast from Apple iTunes and Google. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.